Now let me say something to you. Many of us are in our promised land, but we have not yet done the proper sowing in that promised land. What people say to you that this land of promise is not good. So what do? Let us go to Egypt. And let me tell you something. Broad is a way that leads to destruction. That's not my emphasis. My emphasis is that many are traveling on that road. The normal thing people do is that once a land is not yielding fruit quickly, they abandon it and go somewhere else. And God interjected, stopped Isaac, and said to him simply, Isaac, don't do that. I have tied the manifestation of this promise to your presence on this land. Don't go to Egypt. I know the land doesn't seem to be yielding much for you, but wait, plant in it now and watch what I am going to do. Let me say something to you. If you are able, through whichever way, to identify your land of promise, use wisdom to ensure you never depart from it. It's very important. It's very important. Like I used to say, that no matter what, like, you know my attitude towards ministry and money and all of that. I said, if we don't have money to go on radio, I will leave. You can't pay for television, I will write them, apologize for wasting their time, we shut down. I said, but you know what's going to happen? One thing that will never change is that I will never stop preaching the preaching I am preaching. If I have to gather people in front of the house I'm staying, I will do that. If we find out that we can't pay rent here, yeah, we can't do that there, there's nowhere, radio, you don't have money for radio. I said, do they charge for my voice? Nothing, no problem. So everybody, please, Kingdom World now meet 5 p.m. on Saturdays in front of Pastor Banky's house. Please, when you are coming, bring your big ears because I don't have microphone again. Use something that we make sure you can hear very well. Bring notes and write properly. There's nothing to record. We don't have money. But that preaching, no, I will not stop it. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. No, let me tell you, when you are relocating, sometimes Christians have to relocate. It happens. It happens. In fact, sometimes you have to move from where you are to where God actually wants to be. You know, it happens. I mean, I wasn't born in Enugu, I was telling you. I trained, all the story I told you happened University of Benin. I went to do my youth service in northern Nigeria. Then after that, I went to Lagos where I did my postgraduate. And that was the time I just had a feeling that, because I wasn't even sure, because the impression I had then was that I might not finish the postgraduate training. I held on to that for a very long time. In fact, I held on to it until it finished. It was when I concluded it, I realized that it's finished now. You understand? But then, along, I just felt that, well, this is over now, then I just had this feeling that wherever I'm going next is the place where I'm going to start ministry work properly. And I've told the story several times of how I got to Enugu. I had never, listen, in my whole life, I've been to Enugu only once. I didn't even come here to apply for the job in university. The job in university pursued me down to Lagos. People there was, they come to Enugu, they need the pathologist. Come to Enugu, they need the pathologist. That's why the story kept on going until one day, I was just greeting him. I had not discussed with him about my confusion or anything. He just started talking. Ah, Enugu is a nice place. You will like it. I was looking at him like, did the spirit possess this guy? I remember him very well. We used to call him Prebo. I didn't discuss, even after I finished talking, I didn't tell him Enugu was on my mind. But I took that as part of the confirmation, all right, that it was a good place to go to for my next phase in life. And as soon as I came into town, I arrived in September. The next convention I went for, by that, I started writing my tracks. Traveled to Lagos, printed them. The next convention I went for in Benin, my alumni fellowship, I told my brethren, it is time for ordination into ministry. So my wife and I knelt down, and my brethren gathered around and prayed like Paul and Silas. Paul and Barnabas were prayed for. They prayed for us and sent us forth into ministry. That was how we began this thing. I said, no matter what, I have identified this land of promise. You will not get me to shut up. Are you getting my point? Now, I brought that one up because I had to move also. So sometimes Christians have to move. I just use that illustration. But it's a prayerful thing it must never be because we feel something else is better. I was talking with a man of God, you know, he's a pastor in this, not in the main city here, but one of the neighboring towns around. One day we were speaking, and he described how he moved his church from not far away from here, to where he is right now. And the ministries just, expanded instantly. He said, he made a statement. He said, I'm not one that is really giving into numbers. I know his background, so I understood what he was saying. All right? He said, but he saw it that he was in, not too far, on Ogui Road here. And for years, no one would come to the church, they not pass 4 or 5 or 6, maybe maximum 10. And he was laboring, doing the same thing that he was doing. Then one day, I don't know what led him, he now moved somewhere else. By the following year, there were 100. Most importantly, he was ministering to people. I've been to the church to go and minister before. So I know sometimes Christians have to move. But if you look, he left the center of Enugu. Listen to this, so those of you think that it is population. It is this. He left the center of Enugu and went to Ngo. That is reverse engineering a bit. Do you understand my point? All right, so nobody is saying that Christians never move. We're not stubborn. In fact, there's one pastor I know somewhere. One day my wife was telling the family, this one you are doing, you have to move somewhere else. Obviously, where you are not ministering to anybody. It is not about money or no. You are not ministering to anybody. You have to move. Now, he wasn't saying like get to a place that's more fruitful, but try and locate where you are supposed to be. That's what he was saying. You are getting the point I'm making here. So when Christians have to make such decisions, we pray. We pray. All right? But having said all of this, if we locate our land of promise, we don't abandon it just because there's a famine there, which usually for us is temporary. You don't make eternal decisions on things that are temporary. You don't. And that was what God was saying to Isaac. Sometimes, like I said, that's the main thing I wanted to say today. There is famine in the land of promise. And let me say something to you about famine. It's not always bad. It may look bad initially, but it is not always bad. It may look bad to the flesh. It may feel bad to the flesh, but it's not always bad. I'll explain the principle there. It's one of the ways by which God blesses and increases people. There's one thing about human beings. Usually when something is flourishing, everybody jumps into it. You know that. They always do it. You know, in the United States, because I watch a lot of international news and things that are happening all over the world, I get to use a lot of that for examples. A lot of local things also we use as examples here. But there is their housing crisis some time ago. All right? This crisis. That a house that was previously worth maybe, let's say, $400,000, the value will crash to maybe like $180,000, $150,000. Now, you say, what's the big deal? You're living in it. No, for them, it's not like that. They used to do a lot of mortgaging and all of that. Somebody would have borrowed money on the value of his house. That is, the bank will lend you that $400,000 because they believe that your house is worth $400,000. Now, the bad side of people actually don't reason well. All this, they just use these things to put people into trouble. When the value of the house comes down, now, the people were hoping that the house will increase in value. All right? So they can sell the house later, get a lot of money, pay off the bank, and still have excess money. Meanwhile, bank is charging them interest on $400,000, not on whatever value of the house is. You borrow $400,000. Then later on, the house values started coming down, until it hit maybe like $150,000, $100,000, and the bank is still charging you for $400,000. The problem now is that you can't pay off the bank. So all your arrangements is off. So you have to keep on paying interest on $400,000, which you borrowed against the house that was now worth right now only one third of what was it used to be worth. All right? Now the problem is, of course, that all over the place people couldn't pay. And then I'm going somewhere. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but a lot of people were borrowing money they couldn't afford because the banks thought, they explained to them, don't worry, the value of your house will go up. Then later on you can sell the house and stuff like that. So, of course, as will always happen, it came crashing down. Talking about American housing bubble. What about the Nigeria internet bubble? Stock market bubble. Most people lost money in that thing. They have 100,000 naira, they put it, and then all kinds of jokers are on radio. You did not hear them. Magic of penny stocks. There are so many experts on stock. After that, they went into how to trade oil and gas on the internet. Now, the stock market in Nigeria to also down, of course. Now, you know the interesting part? That farming, that farming is always good. That is the time that the good Lord helps remove those who don't belong there and blesses those that belong there. Because while everybody was doing like that, do you know that was the time someone like Dangote became the richest man in Africa and then finally the richest black man in the world? Do you know that? All of it is the money Nigerians contributed during the stock market bubble. In case you want to know how Dangote became rich, you and I, you know what I mean by you and I, all of us, we all gathered money and gave to Dangote. It's good, amen? If we did not give him money, he won't be building the refinery that he's building now. So let's not be angry. But the point I'm making is that stock market thing is not always bad. The farming thing is not always bad. It may be bad for some people because Isaac sold in that land. Go and check. He wasn't living in that particular portion before. Where did he get land from? Everybody had gone to Egypt. He didn't catch that. They had all run to Egypt. They were selling the land cheap. Nobody was cultivating it anyway. Land that he would have had to pay maybe 2 talents of gold for. He got for a few shekels of silver. And that's why I'm telling you, don't run away from your own land of promise. Because when the farming starts in there, that is the time God is going to establish you. Every parasite is going to disappear. All the parasites will run to Egypt. Don't worry. You know, you see in Enugu now, price of land is going up. Don't worry. Listen, it will not go on forever. Around my house, they are constructing big houses. Anytime I'm driving by, I say, very soon you guys will put it for sale. We are going to buy. Better say amen, no. Amen. Listen. I just wake up in the morning. In my mind, I say, are you telling me there are this number of people doing good business around here? No, there are not that many. This money is coming from somewhere. Don't worry. You and I can guess where it might be coming from. Don't worry. Don't be angry. People be angry. What kind of thing is this? This is money. I don't be angry. Just choose the one you like. And go and wait. What did I say? Go and wait. Every little boy will go somewhere, steal some money, and come and build. Don't worry. Why are you angry with him? Do you plan to steal? Hey, let him do the stealing now. Oh, what's the problem? Then you go and do what? Wait. And make sure the Lord is blessing you, that you have a promise over your head. And then you go and wait. Because the time of famine, that's what I'm emphasizing, it's not always bad. You know, I told you, you see hotels being built all over the place by people who don't know anything about hotel business. They just went somewhere, maybe Abuja area, they have some connections, they got some jobs, got down there, come, what do I do with this money? Build hotel. Don't be angry. What did I say? What do you do? Wait. If God has called you into that line of business, don't build anything. No. What did I say? What are you going to do? You are going to buy them for cheap. I have a prophetic word for somebody in that area. One day you will have a chain of small hotels because Nigerians only build small hotels. You know, if you go, when you hear of Hyatt, you hear of Intercontinental, you hear of those all those big names, the hotels are big, massive. Who wants massive hotels? Wahala for maintenance. We don't want. Let those who God has given down, let them take. But you, in Enugu alone, you have like 7. Each one, 30 rooms, 40 rooms. But when you put 7 times 30, that's 210 rooms. You don't try. You have it like that. You have it like that in Enugu. You have it in Onitsha. You have it in Asaba, just across the river. You go to Benin, there are plenty. Lagos are all over the place. You go to Abuja. What is how many hotels you get? If I want you, when businessmen want to talk to you, they won't know that there are small hotels. This guy has like 700 hotels. What am I going to say? Famine is good. It's only such times that movement of wealth happens. When famine hit Egypt itself, Pharaoh became rich, thanks to Joseph. Pharaoh became so rich, he was rich for a very long time. Pharaoh wasn't that rich before. But because God gave Joseph insight, he prepared for the famine. Just like Isaac, he was able to buy grain cheap when there was abundance. Then he began to sell them off when there was famine. The people bought until they didn't have money again. So say, what do we do? Say, sell yourselves to Pharaoh. So they took themselves and gave themselves to Pharaoh after they had sold their land. So by the time rains started falling again, the land that they were living on belonged to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh said, okay, pay me royalties. That's how taxation was said to have begun. So you can have the land. I just need something from it every year. Since you also are my property, you get my point? The land paid. The man working the land paid. Pharaoh became exceedingly rich. Why? Because of famine. Let me quickly give you a prophetic word. Famine will work in your favor in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, but you must be careful that you don't run away. That's what I'm going to explain. If there's famine in your own land of promise, listen to me. It will work in your favor. Amen. You know the interesting part? I feel like talking some more about famine. A few Tuesdays ago, I began to explain something here. But one of the things we explain once in a while, that Christians should please stop being grumblers and complainers. Sometimes I catch myself angry with the system and I'm complaining. I say, Banky, this is not right. You shouldn't be a grumbler, shouldn't be a complainer. Especially when it comes to your life, it comes to the country, it comes to the way things are going. Because when you grumble and whine and complain, your eyes are blinded, you don't see opportunities. You know, I don't know how many of you were aware enough of what's going on in the nation, the days of SAP. SAP was around 86, 87, 88, 89. It was hot in 89. That was when the students nationwide went on riots in different towns, where you had major campuses in Nigeria, different cities. And then Babangida closed the schools for 5 months. I was a student that time, 89. Now, SAP was very bad. SAP was very, very bad. Let me just summarize it like that. All right? Both of my parents were civil servants. So it was people like that felt SAP the most. It was very bad because they were on a fixed salary. The price of things were going up, but the salaries remained the same. Now, so that was a bad side of SAP. SAP was horrible, was terrible, was bad. But in the interesting part, before SAP, there were very few Nigerians that were millionaires. During SAP and after SAP, they couldn't count anymore. Before SAP, the farmers were very poor. During SAP, they became rich. They couldn't talk, like go to paper and complain. But the fact is that, you know, because I come from Ondo State where there's a lot of cash crop, you know, cocoa, there's plenty of it there. My cousins, all right, they didn't own farms, their fathers did. They were making in one trade more money than my parents were earning in a month as salary. Why? Because SAP removed the control of commodity boards. Before, if you harvest cocoa, you have to sell to the cocoa board. And they fixed the prices. But now, the Lebanese could walk into your farm, put it on a scale, weigh it, and bite. It was during SAP, young men lost interest in education.
Yes. I mean, people. I mean, we were going to school. I come from a place where everybody goes to school. So, and then all the traders in town were looking at those going to school. Like, look at these people, because they were the ones making money. Again, that's one thing. Be careful. Education is good, whether it makes money or not. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Because all those traders, later on in life, when they began to privatize, they couldn't buy. They didn't have the intellect to turn the little money into billions. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that time, people lost interest in education. Because education got you a good job, which fixed you on a salary, which killed you on that sap. So people lost interest. Professors didn't have anything. All my lecturers, University of Benin, disappeared to Saudi Arabia. All of them, one after the other. Kuwait, Saudi, Oman. You start hearing all kinds of... Many of us had never heard of anything beyond Mecca in that area before. That time was now, we now understood there was Saudi Arabia, there was Kuwait, there was Oman, you know, there was Qatar. That's when we learned all those things. Because Nigerians ran everywhere. But the point I'm making is that, do you know that under SAP, was the first time an average Nigerian could actually wake up, do business, and be a millionaire? For most people, SAP was bad. But for a select few, they were not particularly favored. They just were, they had the presence of mind. They had the understanding. God gave them something that they were able to do without restriction. Everybody who sat down, like most civil servants then, and complained. They were used to the historical ways of getting a job, like Robert Kiyosaki described in his book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, working up, coming to a level, becoming a DG, retire this thing. They were used to it. I told you the story once. They told me my younger brother applied for work in NNPC. So I was surprised. I said, why did DG apply for work in NNPC? Apparently my mother was the one who was pushing him, apply. He said, government thing. I said, government was NITEL, not government. Added to it now, was PACN, not government. And very soon we'll be saying, was NMPC not government? I hope you know it's also going. Everyone is going. And in case you won't like this, I'm about to say it, you will not like this. A matter of time, all your federal universities too are going. Go and check it in most parts of the world that you have a lot of economic liberalization like this. The universities are not handled by government. And you know what they need to do? Call the subvention and tell you, you have to raise half of the money that you people are using there. Now, why am I saying all of these things? No matter what it looks like it's wrong, it's bad. Let me ask you a question before I make the statement. Are you blessed? If you think you are blessed, say amen.
Amen.
If you are sure there is a blessing working in you, say amen.
Amen.
If you are persuaded that life is working in you, say amen.
Amen.
Therefore, I say to you, no matter how it looks like outside, it's for you only an opportunity for increase.
Amen.
That's what it is. Things are going to look rough in that land of promise. For the blessed person, it's a way by which God is going to multiply you. Isaac did not understand the miracle of 100-fold in 1 year until the famine struck the land of promise. He didn't understand it. It was when famine hit the land of promise that the man went into this 100-fold level. And notice that he said the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. And I was asking myself, what is the difference between being rich and being wealthy and being very wealthy? And the Holy Spirit allowed me to see in the next verses that when you are rich, you have money. When you are wealthy, you control people. Can't you see? He said he became very wealthy, for he had possessions of flocks, herds, and a great household. So that the Philistines envied him. He was not, why should the king envy him? Is it because of money? No. This man could raise an army. That was the problem. That the man became exceedingly wealthy. He had control of a large household. Which meant that the Philistines got angry.
And this guy called his men working in his house. Guys, all of you, pick a knife and cutlass, come. Listen, let me just drop this so we can close. As a Christian, you know, for a long time, Christians, of course, I hope it's not now, but we have to be careful, we have to be careful. For a long time, Christians used to preach, this world is not my home and all of that, okay? And then some, Archbishop Bessie Dausa and co. arose at the time and said, my God is not a poor God. Now, that was a very good gospel. A lot of people now push it into covetousness, and that's the problem. And some people are now revolting again and trying to push us back to this world is not my home because they are reacting against covetousness. And I think covetousness is bad. Are you getting my point? It is very bad. I think Christians should be angry. They should confess it out of their lives. Should never allow it to take hold of them. But, having said that, but you must notice this one, that wealth is still a ministry. If you have not read my book, Grace to Prosper, please go and read it. There's a ministry called wealth. And I'm saying Christians should please, and they are praying to God for increase, they should have that in mind. We are not talking, wealth for Christians is not, I keep on saying it, it's not about changing the kind of clothes you wear. Those are the things that are added unto you. We must strike the balance. This world is not your home. It's the word of God. You are a citizen of heaven. Amen? Amen. Where I disagree is that you are not just passing through. I mean, if I'm living, as me, I live in Enugu, which I do right now, and I'm going to Onitsha and I'm coming back, no matter how bad the road is between here and Onitsha, and I travel over it and I come back, the road is not fixed. Do you know why? I'm just passing through. The road is not my home. I'm just passing through. But if my roof is leaking at home, I fix it. If the road, all right, into my compound is bad, I fix it. I fix my home. So when people say, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. What they do with this world is that they leave it as bad as they met it. They don't fix anything. They don't fix the educational system. They don't fix the health system. They don't fix the insurance system. They don't fix the financial system. They don't fix the legal system. They don't fix anything. Why? It's not their home. It's just the same way you will drive over a road from here to Nature and you will come back. All you do is comment on how bad it is and that's the end of it. Why? You only passed through. That's where I disagree. This world is not my home, but I'm not just passing through. I am going to change things here. I will change the people I meet. I will change the educational system. I will change the church system. I will change the financial system. You will change the legal system. You will change all kinds of things because you are not just passing through. That's the point. You are not just passing through. Wealth, that's what I'm talking about, is the power to change things. That's what I'm saying. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to gain wealth. Wealth is power. The literal Hebrew says it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get power. That literal Hebrew. Or strength to gain strength. I'm going to say something. Christians should start having that wealth mentality, which is not about becoming rich. It's not even about flying a private jet. You fly a private jet where you need one, not to show off to anybody. If you need a private jet, please buy one. No, I will draw the word, please. I'm speaking for God, so I will not say please. If you need a private jet, buy one. You didn't answer me? Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the answer. That's the appropriate spiritual answer. It gives you the ability to do it. So let me say it again so you can answer me. When you need a private jet, you will buy one.
Amen.
You will maintain one.
Amen.
Your own will not crash.
Amen.
And you don't have to tell the whole world about it because we are not trying to look for who to show. It's because you need it. So wealth is not about buying a private jet. That's not what I'm saying. It's when we need it. If you don't need it, Archbishop Idaosa, with all the days he preached, what they call it, my God is not a poor God, gospel of prosperity, abundance and all of that, he didn't have one. He built a university, he didn't have one. And I heard later, they dashed him private jets twice. And he decided he did not need it. So you give him one. After a while, he looks and says, who should I give this to? That's somebody else. Twice he was given. Men looked at him and said, sir, this will be good for you. They said, take. Well, somebody was there when he was speaking. Was one that reported to me. The man said simply, that what he's going to do is that everywhere he flies first class. I never buys a ticket. So he did not need it. Yet he was the one that preached to everybody, my God is not a poor God. So you see, it's not about being ostentatious. I'm saying to you, that's why I'm preaching it. Nobody's telling you be worldly. I am saying be useful. Be fruitful, he said, multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. He said, have dominion. Isaac, in the time of famine, he became a man that had dominion. That is the difference between being rich and being wealthy. Because the man had a great household. That is, many people were feeding under his wings. That's what it means to be wealthy. And I'm saying to you again today as a believer, redirect your mind when you're talking about increase in life towards being very wealthy. It is God's power to change things. I just wanted to add that one to it. Remember what I said today. The main thing is that, listen, famine sometimes will arise in the land of promise. It is not the reason to run away from the land of promise. Are you getting my point? It's actually your own opportunity. That is when God will convert the wealth of the nations into your hands. It is the time God weeds away those who just came in. Let us see what is happening here. It's only those who have the strength to stay. That's one thing. Let me just talk about this briefly, and then I close just for a minute. In locating the land of promise, that's why you have to be patient. That it must not just be because everybody is doing something. Allow God to grow something inside you. I always use myself as an example because I'm the one preaching. I know my life, all right, more than anybody else's life. I know me very well. Years ago, long ago, I decided I was going to preach. And you know, I've never had the opportunity to change my mind. That is, the idea I can do other things, you know, to fill up time, but my central focus is always, you will preach. I think everybody can do that in every aspect of life. You can decide that I am going to teach. Many things will happen. You teach in here today, you won't teach tomorrow. What I mean is, different things might take your time, but in the center of your heart, you are deciding, everything's come together. When things come together, you say, no, I will teach. I will run businesses. I like transportation. You know, something will just stick there. The interesting thing is that nothing that is a calling always flourishes fast. They go through farming periods. Where many people lose it is because it's not making it now, so they run away. And let me just add that one to you as I close. You must have a staying power once you have decided that this is my land of promise. Listen, look at this whole movie, people. Until they did living in bondage, most Nigerians didn't know anything about money and home and acting. Are you getting my point? But blessed are those who stayed with acting because they enjoyed it. You understand what I'm going to explain? Now, everybody's now making money in acting, so every Tom, Dick, and Harry wants to go in there. That's where you can be sure. 99.5% are frustrated. All those boys and girls you see inside home movie, that's not the big star. You know how much they pay them? 1,000 naira per scene. I'm not joking, though. Maybe they have increased it now to 2,000. But when I first came to Enugu, I was living with them. 1,000 naira. It thinks everybody that is a Genevieve. But they're all there thinking that one day I will be like Genevieve. All of them will grow old. They are still waiting for when they will be like Genevieve. Why? They came there just because of what? Money. Some of them should have gone, get married, raise a very good home. And that would have been a blessing. Their children would have been the one controlling the whole movie market later. It would have been a blessing. But they don't think about it. They came to act because they saw Genevieve. What am I saying? Don't let money toss you to and fro. You are not the devil. Why did I say devil? They say, from whence have you come? They're from walking to and fro. You will be like Isaac. God doesn't like walking to and fro. When God saw Isaac, he said, where are you going? I said, may I check that Egypt side? God said, dwell in this land. So, you know, that's another. Let me just say this one. The land of promise does not always give fruit unless you sow into it. Did you hear that? It multiplies what you put in. The mistake Christians make, I don't want to say a new message, maybe we'll pick up from this next time. It's just time to close now. The mistakes Christians make these days is that they think sowing only means give money. So I'm in my land of promise. Let me sow a seed in my land of promise. So they go and look for offering, go and give to Pastor Banky because they're in the land of promise. If you want to give money to Pastor Banky, give to for two reasons. I've told you before. What are the two reasons? One, he's a man of God. Two, he has blessed you. That's all. Not because it's my land of promise. Let me sow into it. Sowing into your land of promise means invest in that thing that's your own. That's what it means. You want to be making cakes, go for a course. That's what it means. When they are doing course somewhere, go there. You want to be making clothes, don't just sit there in your house. These ones they sell in all these international chains, they are made by human beings in Bangladesh. You hear what I said? Where? Not even in London. The number one country for making those things, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Vietnam. Those women didn't go to school. They are the ones that are building collapse and killed 3,000 the other day. Remember the story? Is it collapse now or was caught fire? There was one a caught fire, there was one a collapse. No, there was a collapse one, there was a fire. They always died in thousands. Because that's where they make those things. So when somebody brings cloth from London, you look at your own. It is obvious your own is made in Nigeria. Vex. What did I say? Vex. Be angry. The Bible says, be angry but sin not. Just don't shoot somebody. Be angry. Ask yourself simply, how are they doing it? Ask yourself, what are they doing? What are they doing? All over the world, handmade suits are supposed to be more expensive and better fitting than mass-produced ones. Why is it that most of our suits made locally are not as fitting as a mass-produced one? It's a question you should ask. That's what it means to sow in that land, not give an offering. People give, they become poor. Why? They're not giving according to God. They're not doing what God said. Some people have given money. God said, go and sow in your business. They go and give us offering. They say, God will multiply for you. They say, God, me. Multiply? Oh, yeah, now go and call police when I don't answer you. Because I won't multiply. You are irresponsible. No, I will take one moment here and say this one. Listen to me. Every money that comes to your hand, God has label on them. The one that God said, go and give to Pastor Bag, if you eat it, you will have stomach trouble. Now, the one that God said, invest in your business, don't give it to anybody. That's what I'm trying to explain. You are not supposed to. It is not righteousness to do that. Those are the gospel must be preached. I just liquidated my business so they can preach the gospel. You have sold your land in the land of Philistines now. What will God multiply? Don't do all this overzealousness. It's not necessary. I'm not impressed by it. What I want, you know, let me tell you, let's be selfish for a moment. I want to think about myself and Kingdom World Ministries and the fact that you love me and love Kingdom World. Which one do you think I prefer? When you don't have money, if you sell all yourself, you give me 50,000 naira and I'm rejoicing. Or when you just bring 200 naira and you are growing every day, then one day, say, Pastor, you say you like that car, you write a check for 50 million, you buy it for me. Which one do you think is better? So you want to, let's buy a whole satellite. How much? $1 million, you pay. Which one do you think I prefer? So you say, I'm very patient. Amen? Patience is a virtue. Let me tell you, you will bless me in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You are bound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It will come to pass, you will give $1 million and it's a regular offering for you.
Amen.
I said it will happen. Listen, when I talk like this, I'm serious. It will happen.
Amen.
That you will give $1 million and it will take you a week to tell your wife.
Amen.
Because it's not a big deal. You know, if you give out your car and trek home, you know, your wife is like, honey, is it thief? You know, say, no, as I was coming, the Lord spoke to me. I gave us an offering when I went to church. Okay. You know, you have to report instantly. Otherwise, either you report to your wife or you report to police because the car, you know, it has gone. But imagine that a man stops you on the road and says, please, I've not eaten since morning. And you give the person 500 naira. Will you get home and tell my wife, say, that 500 naira, I gave somebody. You know, it's later on you are gisting. Just say, okay.
Did I tell you? I saw one man the other day. You know, I dropped like this by 2 p.m. He had not eaten the whole day. At this country, after a week. So will $1 million be for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So Isaac sowed in that land. That's what I want to emphasize. Please, apportion your money appropriately. And make sure you sow appropriately in your land of promise. And God will bless you. And you'll become rich. And you'll become richer. And you'll become wealthy. And you'll become very wealthy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow down here. Just give the Lord thanks. Just say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Let's just give him thanks.